This is Day 1, Body Swap, a Stranger Things fanfic written by Wolfish Willow and read by Rena Jenkins. This story is rated PG-13 and contains the gen relationship of Chrissy Cunningham and Steve Harrington, with additional tags for Season 4, Alternate Universe Canon Divergence, Alternate Universe Soulmates, Mild Hurt Comfort, Body Swap, Protective Steve Harrington, POV Chrissy Cunningham, POV Steve Harrington, Pre Chrissy Cunningham Steve Harrington, Cheer Scoops Week 2023. Author's Notes. Was worried I wouldn't manage to finish anything for Cheer Scoops Week. This might not be much, but success! For one of the Day 1 prompts, Body Swap.
Chrissy.
The voice is a deep rumble she can feel inside her head, inside her soul. It sends terror down her spine, makes her hair stand on end and her stomach drop. Her eyes water at the sound, even as her heart pumps in fear. There's no escape. That's what she's learned since her nightmare started. It doesn't matter how fast she runs or where. The voice always finds her. But she wasn't asleep. She was in Eddie's trailer in a part of town her parents would have killed her for being in willingly. To get drugs to help her fight off this fear, these nightmares that have been following her into the waking world. Nightmare or not, she runs. Through her house, a house she remembers leaving earlier. How is she? Her father's face is burned into her brain, cut up and bloody. The voice of her mother drifts through the house, follows her too closely, just like the monster's does. It morphs, becomes gravelly, sends that same fear through her when she reaches the door and finds it boarded shut. Her only way out, blocked. The creature is closer. It steps slow and heavy behind her. Chrissy slams her eyes shut, presses her hands over her ears, tries to wake up from this nightmare that isn't a nightmare, that is too real to be a dream, and wishes harder than she's ever wished for anything in her life to be somewhere, anywhere else. Her stomach swoops, the ground seemingly swimming under her feet, and then she lands, hard, somewhere she doesn't recognize. The last thing she sees before the world goes dark is the plaid curtains surrounding the window of wherever she's just woken up. Steve is in his room, on his bed, dreading another night of sleep. Then he blinks, and he's in a place he doesn't recognize. There are boards on the door, locking him in, and a steady thumping of heavy feet come to a final stop somewhere behind him. When he turns, he expects to look up into the petaled mouth of the Demogorgon. There is a monster standing there, just out of arm's reach. But it's not a monster Steve recognizes. His mind usually sticks to the things he's fought and nearly been killed by. Occasionally, they even take the form of Hargrove, his face twisted into a terrifying smile, while the sound of his laughter rings in Steve's ears. He doesn't get those as much since the asshole died this summer. The thing standing in front of him is tall, like a Demogorgon, but almost human under what look like burns all over it. Steve freezes for a second at the sight, his blood rushing in fear, new and familiar at once. It always washes over him in the early moments of his nightmares, the moments before he remembers that it's his own mind, and he's the one in control. That, if he believes it, he can't lose. Not to the Demogorgon or the Demodogs or Hargrove. He doesn't know why he's dreaming of this strange humanoid monster, or why he's somewhere he's sure he's never seen. But Steve does know that he's dreaming. that none of this is real. Can't be, when the last place he'd been was in his bed, staring at the ceiling, lamenting yet another terrible date with someone that would never be more than that. Steve crawls his fingers around the familiar wood of his bat, the weapon he keeps handy in his house as well as his mind. And the creature staggers satisfyingly backwards at his first swing. It stops, seeming almost confused. More man than monster as it stares at Steve, its head tilting as its eyes sweep over him, the bat, and back again. It makes a sound, a rumble, a quiet, that is too curious to be anything like the monster Steve has fought before. Then Steve blinks, and where he expects to find the ceiling of his bedroom, instead, Eddie the Freak Munson is standing in front of him, concern and fear etched into the features of his face. Chrissy? Steve draws his head back in confusion. Chrissy, he says, only it comes out in a voice that isn't his own. He'd been so caught up in waking up somewhere he doesn't recognize, Munson's trailer, he figures, that he hadn't noticed how strange he actually feels. The sight of a cheerleader uniform, and the fact that the ground is closer than it's been since before he hit his last growth spurt, is all the confirmation he needs that something is really, really wrong. I have to go, he says, doing his best to ignore how wrong it sounds. Munson reaches for him, worry evident, but Steve doesn't have the time to focus on making someone else feel better right now, especially a person that Dustin's ditched him for multiple times since he joined the guys' club. Right now, Steve needs to find his body and hope like hell that he can get back into it and out of this one. Anything else, we'll have to wait. Chrissy is pacing up and down the bedroom she woke up in when she hears a door open downstairs. She moves to wrap her arms around herself, only to let go like she's been burned at the uncomfortable reminder that she is not herself. Footsteps, soft and hardly audible, sound from the stairs, and Chrissy freezes. What is she supposed to do if it's Steve's mom or dad out there? She can admit, if only to herself, that she used to watch him a little too closely since she first saw him as a 14-year-old freshman. But she's only ever exchanged a handful of words with him casually. Small talk once or twice at parties, before he stopped showing up to them alone, and then at all. Not nearly enough to be able to trick his parents if they have to speak for any length of time. But it isn't Mr. or Mrs. Harrington who enter the room. Watching her body walk through the door is almost weirder than having woken up in Steve Harrington's bedroom in his body. Oh, thank God, Steve says, his shoulders dropping in relief. You're in great shape and all, but Munson doesn't live close, you know? I wasn't looking forward to having to go right back out to look for you. Me. You. It's just as strange to hear her own voice when she isn't the one speaking, as it is to see herself without staring into a mirror. He steps the rest of the way into the room, shutting the door behind him. Chrissy watches her ponytail swing back and forth when he shakes his head and mutters something that she doesn't catch outside of what sounds like the word parents. This is the strangest day of her life. I need to sit down, she says, already reaching for the bed behind her. There's a moment when she thinks she might miss it and fall on the floor, but Steve reaches out and catches hold of her arm before that happens. The world shifts, her stomach roiling with a sudden motion. Whereas before she worried that she would fall backwards onto the ground, now she falls forward instead. Again, Steve catches her, this time with his own hands. Relief wars with the nausea clawing at her insides, and she leans forward to wrap her arms around him without thinking. He hugs her back, his hands coming to rest tentatively against her back. Just when she thinks she should move, he begins to sway, rocking them both gently back and forth. She can't help but fall further into him, taking the comfort he's offering. Weird day, huh? Chrissy laughs in surprise. Tears spill down her cheeks, and when he holds her tighter, she's not sure whether it's because he can feel them or because her laughter sounded too wet to hide how overwhelmed she is. So weird, she agrees, forcing herself to let go of him and take a step back. She swipes at her cheeks with the back of her hand, roughly. Steve reaches out, his hand coming to rest on her arm and squeezing her gently. She appreciates the gesture more than she can say. Not only does it help her feel less alone, but it works as a solid reminder that she's herself again. Steve starts to say, tilting his head down to meet her eyes.
That monster.
Her heart speeds up as her eyes widen. He saw it? And he didn't... Steve nods as though he's confirming something, but she doesn't have a clue what he could have determined from just looking at her. It's real? She asks, her voice shaking. She knows the answer. Has known since before she woke up in this room. That voice has been following her for days. Biding time, she guesses, from the ticking of the clock she'd seen in the woods. But she'd hoped that it was all a nightmare. Stress showing itself in a horrible, scary new way.
Hey, it's okay, Steve says,
squeezing her arm again before turning them around and motioning her to sit. His bed is as soft as she remembers, and she tries to draw comfort from him. Wraps her hands around the edge and holds on tight, leaning into his side when he joins her.
We'll figure this out. Or not me, I guess, but I know who to ask.
Eyebrows threading together in confusion, Chrissy turns to look at him.
You're not surprised by any of this.
He shrugs, lips quirked in a humorless smile.
Not my first monster.
It's not? She asks slowly. Part of her wants to think he's crazy, but how can she when she wished and wished and wished to be anywhere else and woke up in someone else's body? The only time she's ever heard of something like that happening is for... She shakes the thought away. There are more pressing concerns than the fact that the only people who've been known to do what they did have been soulmates. The phenomenon is so rare, most people don't even believe it's real anyway. Kind of like how monsters aren't supposed to be real. But she shoves both thoughts down as far as they'll go. His eyes are as serious as she's ever seen them. They've only really ever interacted at parties or occasionally between classes before he graduated. She guesses she shouldn't be surprised that she's never really seen him like this.
You know how people have started to say Hawkins is cursed? They're not that far off.
She swallows hard as she listens to him explain some of the monsters he's seen, fought. Takes comfort in how close he sits, in the arm he wraps around her,
In his telling her how he fought the monster after her off with a bat full of nails he supposedly keeps in the trunk of his car. For emergencies like this.
It's gonna be okay, Steve says, as he sets up the guest bedroom for the night.
Chrissy appreciates the fact that he isn't taking her back home, making her spend the night somewhere alone. She almost asks to stay with him, but doesn't want to push for too much.
We'll keep you safe from this thing, okay?
Nodding, Chrissy lets herself believe him. And after he leaves the room with one final comforting look, Chrissy curls up in the guest bed and tries not to think too hard about what it means that she ended up here, with one of the few people in town who might actually be able to help. That's something they can deal with after they've gotten rid of her monster. The end. Author's notes. Is the soulmate stuff sort of out of nowhere? Yes. But I wanted an explanation for why body swapping might be possible outside of because I said so. And this is where my brain went, because I am always excited for soulmate fic. Hope y'all enjoyed.
Heart.
Reader's notes. This podfic is recorded in the brand new, super old, shitty office. So my old office is actively under construction, and my boss has decided that we should all go back to the space that we actively left 6 years ago because there was not enough space for the number of people in it. And now there's more people in it, and it is shitty, and it is horrible. But right now I'm the only person in the office, and so it is day one of the return to work. Oh yeah, because we definitely stopped fucking working. Ask me if I'm bitter about this whole situation. Anyway, we are trying to put a positive spin on things, and the positive spin is that I'm the only person in this office, so I'm recording fucking podfic. I have a lot of thoughts about the potential for body swapping and sort of tag teaming your way through a fight with Vecna. I think this is amazing. I really like how that kind of ties in with the whole thing where Elle is like, find your happy space to Max, and Max is running through memories. But like, if Chrissy has the ability to sort of run through Steve's memories when she's being targeted by Vecna, and they are tag teaming in and out, like, here is some strength from Steve and here's some gentleness from Chrissy for Steve, especially like, you know, I'm going to be kind and support you where maybe he might have had emotions about what has my life become? Why is it only the danger and like, you know, that hot, good shit. Clearly, we still do also need to go back to Eddie because he did see her having a moment. Max did see the lights flickering. Thankfully, Chrissy's not dead, but like, we have now involved more strangers into our season 4 plot, and I am here for it. I am. Like, look, if this ends in a cheer scoop, or if it ends in a hell cheer scoop, polyamorous, three-way situation, hell cheer scoops, scoop cheer hell? I don't know what the smush name is for that, but look, Steve, Eddie, Chrissy is also my jam. It is 100% my jam. Clearly, rest of season 4 is going to happen. Vecna will take advantage of other depresso espresso teenagers because he is mentally 14 years old and a sociopathic dipshit. But I also really like this idea of Chrissy got away, so maybe he's going to target her where even though there might have been easier targets, maybe Max is still vulnerable, but because Chrissy got away, does this delay things? Does he jump onto another kid and go straight for Patrick and Fred and then come back to Chrissy? Does this mean that Chrissy is bait for the big epic showdown of ultimate destiny? I just really like this idea of like Chrissy and Steve on the mental plane kind of bopping in and out of each other's memories and leading Vecna on a merry chase. And then I had the hilarious thought of like Chrissy running through, you know, because you get that moment where Max is running through lots of different memories and then she ends up at the snowball. So Chrissy running through a lot of Steve's memories, but also
Vecna chasing Chrissy through some of her memories and Steve sort of helping her lay a trap. And one of those traps is cheer camp. And I just think it'd be very funny to have Vecna in a cheer skirt and they throw him and then run before anyone catches him. And then he goes splat in the cheer skirt on the floor in the gym. I don't know. I just think that'd be very funny in a sort of, kind of way. Anyway, I forgot the word for fucking A. Anyway, basically, I'm the only person in the office right now. It is lunchtime and I am podficking to soothe my rage. Thank you so much to Wolfish Willow for having blanket permission to podfic. I need a lot of Chrissy and Steve interaction because I 500% do think they did run in the same sort of, he's a year older than you, but the popular people in multiple grades sort of run in Venn diagram type of circles. You know, there's a little bit of overlap. And maybe while they're comparing notes and inducting Eddie into also the Scooby Gang Party Monster Hunting Club, Chrissy and Eddie do have their reunion of, middle school cheer, talent show, band nonsense. And Steve is like, I was never in the talent show. Why are both of my love interests school theater nerds? And Eddie being like, why are both of my love interests jocks? And Chrissy being like, Steve is my soulmate, but Eddie is interesting. And maybe the three of us will just have to make out in the back of the RV while other things are happening. I don't know. It could be straight Chrissy, Steve. Eddie could just be there to be a friend. Chrissy and Steve making out in the back of the RV. Very like, I'm technically still with Jason, but like, Steve could beat Jason up. Yeah. Anyway, thank you so much for listening. Hope you enjoyed this. And have a nice day. Because I won't. Because this office fucking sucks.